So, welcome back to the second module in today's course. I hope you've had a good break. I think we have just been enjoying some pretty wicked chocolate cake here in the studio. But we're all set to go now on this second module. And creativity is something that should be at the heart of everything that we do in education. And this module is going to be all about getting creative with Office 365. Learning to create, creating to learn. Now, you'll have probably noticed that Victor has left me, and in his place, meet Lyneth Crichton. Lyneth, welcome to the studio this morning. How are you?
Thank you. Fine, thanks.
It's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
And it's great to have someone who's using Office 365 in the classroom with kids at the moment. Would you like to introduce yourself to the viewers today, and then we'll move on and talk about some creativity in real life.
Will do. I work at a school called Brescia House School, and I'm the head of innovation and staff development, and I'm far more comfortable behind a bunch of girls than I am with three cameras staring at me, but we'll see how it goes.
Hey, one of them's at me. One of them's at me.
Okay. Yeah. There's only two.
Don't hog my cameras.
Okay, yay. And I've been part of Microsoft Innovative Teacher. I've been working with computers and technology in many of the different academic classrooms, right from grade R all the way to the matric girls. And I want to show you some of the projects, especially that we did on Office 365.
Okay, we're looking forward to doing that. I noticed you were at the World Forum in Washington, and you've just come back from Barcelona.
Yes, with Wicked. Barcelona. It was wonderful. 1,100 Microsoft bunnies with their Office 365s and all the education and using technology, and people with the same outlook as ourselves.
Was that a complete geeky tech fest, or was it teachers using good tools?
Yeah. But the best part, teachers explaining how they use the tools.
Great. So real life examples of how the tools are helping to really transform education into the 21st century. Yeah. Okay, moving swiftly on. We've talked about Office 365 this morning in the first module, and we've talked a lot about this thing we call the cloud, and how all the tools in Office 365 are hosted on the cloud. And the first slide from the presentation, hey guys, we have the first slide, please? When that comes up, you'll see the model that we've been using. And Victor and I have talked quite a bit about this cloud thing and how great it is that everything can be connected.
And the dog can't eat it.
And the dog, you're stealing my jokes now. Hey, you give me a break. It's the only joke I've got. No, the dog cannot eat the cloud. I have to get that one in again. But everything's based in the cloud, and including these creativity tools, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote, the web app versions. But you can also get a great deal called Student Advantage now, can't you? Where if your school teachers have licenses for the Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote, the Office tools, the students get them free, don't they? So they can download onto up to five machines, is it?
Five devices, yes.
Five devices.
Is.
So you can flip between the go anywhere, do anything, learn anytime martini learning style of the web apps and the real power of the machine-based versions, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. What a cool deal is that? Yeah. But this cloud illustrates the point we're talking about, that everything is hosted in the cloud, not on your machine, so you can do anything you want really anywhere with any device. That's what we've been talking about a bit this morning. I think it's important to have a bit of background to creativity first, because I mean, technology's driven some pretty big changes in education and in the way that we work and the way that we live. I mean, where would we be without the cash machine, you know? I mean, it's a computer that everybody manages to get to grips with, isn't it? Because they need to. And technology really has driven forward a complete revolution in the way that we live. And learning and teaching is no different, but I sometimes feel that we can take bits of technology and we can put them into schools and they get used just to do the existing jobs a little bit better. So we take a textbook and we digitize it and we put it on a tablet so that a young person doesn't have to carry six or seven textbooks around, they just carry a tablet. But is that really harnessing the transformative power of technology, do you think?
No, I think we really need to make a giant leap in the way we do things and not just digitize what we already have and make it different and engaging for the girls and boys in our classrooms.
Sure. I think the next slide really talks to that very well, because we've come from a model of education where for the learner it's all been about consumption, and that's either that's listening and absorbing or copying down from the front of the room, or reading and copying bits out of textbook. Did you ever have that in your curriculum where you had to get a young person to copy out the second paragraph on page 12 into their notebook? You know, I think we've moved on a lot from that, and our technology has got to disrupt these old models. If we're going to get it to transform education and make it fit for the 21st century and equip our young people with the skills they need to drive forward the economy in Africa, we have to make sure we get this transformative effect from technology. And the old VLEs, the virtual learning environments, they were just content repositories, weren't they? We would just store all our existing worksheets and all our existing notes in there and just download them for young people. And I don't think just digitizing existing resources really is progress. To me, it's not real progress at all.
No, that's just about knowledge. And today, it's not just about knowledge. It's how you find new knowledge, how you create your own, create something new out of what we already know so that we can make a difference.
Or take what we've already got and mash it up and reboot it and change it about and get together with other people and revamp it, show it in different ways. Because, I mean, death by worksheet is really, it's fatal to education, isn't it?
Yes.
It is a killer, and it kills creativity completely when all you've got to do is fill in the gaps or copy out of a textbook. And these printers and photocopiers, after all, we've talked about this in the first unit, Victor and I, there are huge hidden costs, aren't there, with photocopiers and printers. You know, the paper, the ink, the time taken to distribute what we print and copy, the cartridges, the ink, blah, 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 blah. It just goes on. All these hidden costs add up.
And of course, it's not relevant and up to date, because what happened yesterday was yesterday, and today is something completely new. New star, new planet, something different, and now what you printed is outdated.
Sure. I mean, so here's a question. Do schools kill creativity?
I think if we stayed in the realm that we were at, we would create dismal schools where there is no creativity.
Sure.
But teachers still have a big problem that they have to answer to exams. They have to prepare their learners for the final exams in whichever country that they live in to get them through the next step. So there's that fine line between playing and creativity and answering to what your educational system requires.
So really, are exams killing creativity then? Is that really a radical thing to say? You know?
I think the traditional type of exam where it's pen and paper only, write down what you know, how well you can remember what you know. Those kind of things are now need to be part of the past.
So it's not only technology transforming learning and teaching, it's technology transforming assessment as well then?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
Big challenges.
Big challenges ahead.
Let's have a look at where, again, a little bit about where we've come from in education. And we've talked a bit about knowledge and control of knowledge and creating or rebooting knowledge. If we have a look at the slide on the screen, we've got what I call here the four ages of education here. And thanks to Professor Stephen Molyneux for this slide, if he's watching. Do you remember those pictures we used to see of the ancient Greek philosophers standing in the forum or the courtyard and all the students around them gazing up in rapt adoration as the philosophers kind of expounded their theories and spouted the knowledge and the students were all absorbing
it. Knowledge was power.
Knowledge was power. And indeed, moving on, when we get the printing press, the knowledge tended to be controlled by the clergy, certainly in medieval times. It was, again, a transmissive thing. It was a select group of people holding on to that knowledge and choosing who they gave it to or who was allowed to access it and in what form.
And what the knowledge was.
And what the knowledge was. And sometimes there were a lot of controversy over that because some knowledge they didn't want people to have. Then we move on to the age of the industrialist, and we can see there we're educating to get young people to fit into defined pigeonholed roles in life, to take their places on the factory production line or on the farms, and do specific jobs at set times and in set places. And again, we were controlling the knowledge, us educators, teachers, the establishment. We controlled what it was that our young people were allowed to learn.
We were the sages on the stage.
We were. And moving on, we're now in the age of the individual. Our young people have smartphones. Innovation has given them computers and tablets. And all of a sudden, they've got this huge, great resource out there, the World Wide Web. They can bypass the educator, bypass us sages on the stage, and they can go straight to where the knowledge is. So the four ages of education, if we look at the first three, it's all about who's controlled the knowledge. And then when we get to the fourth, which is where we are now, there's been a radical shift in that everything has been opened up. Knowledge is widely available. So we've got to figure out how we help young people to cope with all of this knowledge that they can now access. And that is a big challenge for us. But it's a hugely exciting one, because this is where the creativity comes in, isn't it? What we do with this knowledge and what our young people do with it. So, what do we need from Tools for Creativity? What should Tools for Creativity do? What do we hope that Office 365 in Education is going to do for our learners and our teachers to help them create? We have a look at the next slide. We've got a few ideas on there. So, Tools for Creativity. These are a few things that I felt that they should do. What do you think of some of these? Our viewers are looking at these bullet points now, and they're waiting for us to comment on this. What would you say to that?
I really like the last one, that we are all partners in learning.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in it together.
Sure, it's that shift in knowledge, isn't it? It's the shift over who's controlling the knowledge. There's been a change, and now we're coming together. We're all trying to get together and connect and see what we can do with the knowledge that's there and add to it.
And the idea of lifelong learning.
Lifelong learning.
There is no end point anymore.
It's a journey, isn't it, learning? Mm. It's a journey that you start when you're born. You know, with your very first breath, you're learning things. And it carries on until the day you die.
Yeah.
I like the one there, support educators, because I think teachers, with all these challenges they've got, have perhaps more of a difficult job now than they've ever had before. Because all of a sudden you're going from being the most knowledgeable person in the room to being just one of a whole group of knowledgeable people. And for many teachers, it's quite a big transformation to take. It's a big jump to do, to let go of the control.
And also your tried and tested methods that got you the results before,
got
the children interested in what you were doing, now are out the window. And do you think the kids want to do something different?
Do you think they really were interested, though? Because it's.
I don't know. I think you always have that favorite teacher that met you. You could think of your favorite teacher from school, somebody who answered how you wanted to learn.
Because we sometimes talk about how children today are different now. They can't concentrate and they won't sit still and do what they're told. And I'm thinking, you know, they are constantly bombarded with all this stimulation from all these different sources. You know, they've got children today have got more stimulation coming at them than at any other time before, and they're used to dealing with all of this, and then all of a sudden we bring them into a classroom and we sit them down and we expect them to shut up and listen to what? Boring stuff mainly. Yeah. that we give them in school. And this is a challenge we've got, this engagement, and these tools for creativity have got to engage, haven't they,
and inspire them. Yes. To do something different.
So let's recap about these tools for creativity in Office 365. They're all hosted in the cloud, so they're all easy for us to get. You can see we've got the creativity tools, we've got the connectivity tools. They all come together though, don't they? They're not just isolated tools on their own. They work together very, very closely.
And they help you collaborate with other people across the cloud.
Sure, and it's this collaboration that's the key to creativity, isn't it? You can use them wherever you are, wherever you go, and they work for you and they're reliable. There are several ways that you can access these creativity tools. If you're in Office 365, the slide on the screen now shows that you can either go to to a SharePoint site that you might be working in, and by clicking on Add a New Document, you get a list of the different web apps that you can use. But also, if you're in your OneDrive or in OneNote, you can access these tools, can't you? Simply by clicking on a new document.
Inserting a link to a document, especially in OneNote, creating a new Word or Excel spreadsheet right there.
So there are several ways of accessing these tools that are embedded throughout Office 365 that make it really easy just to start creating, really, wherever you are in there.
And whatever platform you're on, too, whichever device.
And with Yammer as well now, with Yammer you can attach files as well, can't you, and speed those across to somebody else really, really quickly. So it's not a static set of tools, it's been added to and developed all the time, which is, I think, is very important because nothing stands still anymore. We've written this guide for Office 365. Have you had a chance to have a look at that yet?
I've looked at it and I wished it was available last year when I was setting up my 365, but it's very good. It doesn't have any jargon that you don't understand, and the ones that you don't are explained very nicely. Yeah. And it really helps us teachers get going with Office 365.
That's Victor's favourite part, by the way. Yeah. The jargon buster. He loves the jargon buster, does our Victor. Okay, perhaps it's time now that we could flip over to what you've been doing at Brescia House with Office 365. How do you feel about that? Do you think you could show us how you've been using it with the young people in your classes?
Well, I thought I'd show you last year. We have a one-to-one program, and every year when the girls get their laptops for the first time, we include an academic workshop that touches on two academic subjects, and we include them. And last year we did a workshop based in Office 365, and if we look at my screen now, it was called a biome adventure. It was basically the IT teacher, myself, the geography teacher, and the biology teacher. We got together and said they need to learn South African biomes and learn about the geography of South Africa and what suits tourism. So we had a workshop which required them to do a number of features. And the best part about Office 365, today I can show you all their work is in here. It only the girls that were part of the workshop are allowed into this SharePoint site.
Okay.
So it's very secure. We could chat within it. We could post our documents. The girls could showcase their work. So let me just show you the front page. We had a news feed, and now that's replaced by Yammer. We just activated our Yammer these last 2 days, and we're very excited about that. It's a bit like a social networking platform, and you can see the girls could post conversations. They put photos of themselves. We put a big map of South Africa. They got together in pairs, and they researched their towns. And this is a list of the towns with a tag cloud. This shows you the words. So the idea was that when you looked at the tag cloud, you could see actually the things that came up. Mining in a lot of these towns is a big thing, and the girls added information to their towns and put photographs, a map, and found out what sort of tourist placing they could go.
I can almost see my house on that picture.
Oh!
Yeah, on False Bay there. Can I ask you a question? Did you find that as your learners were doing this project, that they came up with ideas as to how they would want it to develop? That it became almost self-directed in many ways?
Yes, and also there was almost no two answers that were similar.
Right.
So each pair came up with how they wanted to portray their town. And the idea after they researched their town was they got together with two other towns and they devised a tour of South Africa that they could sell as a tourist company to people that came to South Africa. And they could pick ones that, for example, included game drives or were kids friendly. As you can see, there's quite a number of towns that did shark cage diving. And so the kids could follow their own interests and they learned things about towns in South Africa they didn't know even existed, or where to find them.
Were they told who to pair up with on which towns, or did they make that choice
themselves? I was quite sneaky. I put half a coordinate in each set of balloon, and then they popped their balloons and they had to find their northwest person uh-huh. that they had to meet up with, and then wow. they had to find their coordinate to find their town. All they had were these blue dots on the map, and they had to figure out which one belonged to them and their partner and which town in South Africa that was. That was the geography part of it coming along.
It's a real learning journey then.
Yeah, yeah. How to read maps.
That's cool. That's really great. It sounds very, I almost wish I'd been able to do that project myself.
Well, they loved popping the balloons.
Yeah.
So, and then once they researched their town, they had to make an advert of their tour. So once they got together with their friends, they had to choose how they would the three towns would work together, how you would get from place to place, how you would get to fly, or whether you could drive in a day.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And that was quite interesting because the girls seemed to think that you could go from Zimbabwe to Cape Town, you know, in a blink of an eye. And you're like, but surely you just stop and include a town across the on the way
sure.
down so that they can have somewhere to stop and stay over.
So it's a real cross-curricular project here, because I'm seeing straight away there's a lot of math involved in this, isn't there? With the calculations of the distances and the times, and as well as the geography and the science behind it. And there's a lot of descriptive work as well. They've got to think about how to describe what they're doing and explain. Was there a lot of creative writing involved in this?
Yes, they had to create a magazine cover and an article that explained their tour that, of course, the English department marked. And
okay.
we looked for things that had to do with how you push a title on the screen. We also created radio ads, and the girls then had to convey their tour in a 30-second radio ad. Now, it's quite challenging to get enough information to sell your tour into 20 seconds. What is important?
Yeah, it is. I suppose it's that challenge we have when we send a tweet out, isn't it, that we've got to get it all into 140 characters. It actually teaches you an awful lot about communication and how to get your message across, doesn't it?
And how to hook the people to follow the information and find out more.
Yes.
So, and the great part of Office 365 was the girls got to upload all these radio ads and the videos that they created for TV adverts and their covers for their magazine. And you can see they put their articles up here. Now that information's here for this year. When the next grade do the same, they can build on it. They don't have to start again.
Did they gather it all into a OneNote book?
They did. We had a shared OneNote, so the group of six could share the information online. They didn't have to be together in the same venue uh-huh. or the same room, and they could actually work on it from home.
Did you find that happening quite a lot? Did you have to tell them to work from home, or did you find them starting to actually do it spontaneously?
No, they're spontaneous, and they roped in brothers to be part of TV adverts when they got home. And
oh, wonderful, wow.
And the best part is the security.
You sure.
The only our girls could get into the information that is here, so it's very secure, always there for them, and we don't have to worry about somebody else taking our information, trying to sell it. And Office 365 also, and Microsoft are undertaking, all our girls' information is secure.
Yes.
They don't sell their emails, they don't allow spamming of the mailboxes.
No. Because I mean,
that's always a worry.
Yeah, it is. You don't like the thought of your emails being read for AdWords to target advertising at you, do you? I mean, that for me, that's one of the big plus points of Office email.
And the same with when we use Link. Ours is restricted so that only our domain girls could get to each other
right.
and our teachers. So we're all on the same platform, but they use that for school.
I think we've got some questions coming in, haven't we? Can we take some questions? What have we got coming in? Because I'm sure lots of people are commenting.
What's the difference between the Office web apps and Office 2013?
That's a great question. The web apps are, to all intents and purposes, the same. They look the same. They're similar. they do the same thing. They don't have some of the powerful functions that the device-based versions have. So, for example, in Excel, you don't have any of the advanced formulae or data processing functions. But the Office web apps are designed for you to be able to update files or start things off or do tasks while you're out and about on the run. And the beauty of it all working from the cloud is that as soon as you're connected, the work you've done in any of your web apps syncs with the version that you have on your main device, so that you never lose any of the changes or the updates that you do. I think perhaps one way of describing it is that the web apps would be semi-skimmed and the device-based versions would be the full fat ones. Yeah, does that work? That was my attempt at a joke there, by the way. But nobody in the studio is laughing at me here, guys. Give me a break. Come on. I guess that's a good way of describing it, though, isn't it? They don't have the full functionality of the versions that you can install on your device, but they've got more than enough to get you going and keep you moving and get your learning happening on the go. And I was particularly interested about your young people were spontaneously working and connecting together within Office 365 from home to help complete their projects and roping in the wider family. Because we're going to talk later about the importance of good home-school links and how it does have a marked effect on achievement when you involve the wider family in your learning. So I was really interested to hear that. Have we got any other questions?
The other very interesting question is, how would you differentiate between group projects and collaboration?
Yeah, now that's interesting, isn't it? Because we've always used group work as a kind of thing to satisfy the inspectors or the principal to show that we're trying to get the kids involved. But you can have group work without collaboration, can't you? You can just have a group of people sitting together working
on the
same thing.
Well, I do my part, you do your part. We come put it together on the last day and stand up and I say my slide, you say your slide, and
it's not
we've
really,
done group.
It's not collaboration, though, is
no.
it? So what's collaboration? How would you define that? I'm putting you on the spot here, by the way.
You and I together create something new. So yeah. I give part, you give part, we change it, go backwards and forwards, and then create something new where at any point the other person can take over and explain why we chose to do that.
Yeah. And I guess it is that coming together and batting ideas off each other and deciding what you're going to create together rather than just putting what student A's done with student B and mashing them together at the end. It's actually the process, isn't it? The creative process is a joint effort between however many people.
And the great part about collaboration is that it includes other members of the family, community, classroom, teachers, even experts from across the world. The idea is that you get the knowledge from numerous places and then you use that knowledge to create something
sure.
new.
Any other questions we've got at this point in time?
And not that, other than do we think that schools kill creativity? I'm putting you back on the spot.
Between you and I, I'm a bit of a radical when it comes to this, and I do firmly believe that our current exam structure is what stifles creativity. I think teachers are incredibly creative. I think there is this huge undercurrent of creativity in teachers that is being squashed in many cases by standardized testing. I have to say this, and by exam structures. And I think if we don't rejig and transform assessment, then what we do to learning and teaching is never going to have the full effect. I think it's got to be the whole package. So I think we really need to look very hard at how we assess. And I think we need to look around the world to see what's happening around the world. Because unfortunately, or fortunately perhaps, the British made almost an industry of exporting examination-style assessment around the world. 150 years ago, and we still have that legacy in many countries around the world of this do or die exam being the gateway to what you're going to do in life. And I think it stifles the potential of so many of our young people. We've got to get that right.
And I don't think that there's an end point anymore. It's more about the skills, and those skills open doors, and in their lifetime, they're going to do numerous different jobs, not like the old industrial factory classrooms where they sort of graduated from school, went to work at a company, retired and got the gold watch 50 years later.
Yeah. Okay, should we go back to Brescia House and spend a few more minutes just looking at what else you've got there?
So, on the screen, I've just got a couple of pictures of our girls. These are in the... We uploaded them because the girls love seeing themselves. And you can see it doesn't look anything like a traditional classroom. The girls are sitting on the floor. They could be anywhere in any part of the school at the time. Let me just go back to the showcasing of the work, and we can show you some more of the... We're into our OneNote. Every group had their own OneNote, so this OneNote would be for the whole of the project.
Sure.
So we didn't really use that part of the functionality. We let each tourism group create their own OneNote and they worked on. We did, however, upload all the documents, so at any point they had a reference to what they were needed to do and where they needed to go in the actual project.
Okay. It's good use of OneNote there. OneNote's such an incredibly powerful creative tool, isn't it? It's so versatile, the things you can do with OneNote.
So, for example, we had the project brief and that uploaded, and if you look on the screen, there's a OneNote and there's Word documents, Excel documents all included and uploaded to the site so that the girls had access to them and they could share between each other and they could include their information.
Yeah.
And it was easy to share with each other and collaborate rather than just arrive and nobody knows what they've been doing.
Right. And I know in your school you have a lot of Windows 8 devices and you were doing these projects on those. But I guess when it comes to going home, the children at home have probably got a mix of Android and iPads and desktop machines. How did you find the way that they were able to work on across all platforms? Did it cause a problem or did it happen pretty easily?
Well, the best part about using the web apps is that everybody's got the same version.
Right.
So often we always have a challenge where when one of the girls go home, now I've got Office 2003 and I've got Office 2010 and now I can't do what you do. And so working in the app form, it doesn't matter. We are lucky that those girls in our workshop have their own laptops.
Yeah.
So they have the desktop version of all of Office. Last year, our girls only had Windows 7. Windows 8 was brand new. This year's girls are all in Windows 8 and learning how to work the charm. So,
how are they finding the change from Windows 7 to Windows
8? Oh, they're fine. The girls are never a problem. It's always us older folk.
Us oldies.
Who have the challenge in learning something new.
Sure, I know. I find myself touching the screen on my Windows 7 machine quite often now. And I look at my granddaughter, who touches the screen all the time and gets very perplexed when nothing happens. So I guess the young ones make the change pretty easily, don't they? Listen, thanks ever so much for showing us all the great work that you've been doing on Office 365 at Brescia House. And I guess that really showcases the wonderful creativity when you get educators and teachers educators and young people coming together. I guess it is a case of good teachers using good tools, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. We're gonna flip over now to another creative demonstration, and I think this time it's a change. We've had young people being creative in your school, but creativity is not just about what the kids do, because teachers and educators can be creative in the way that they work, and Office 365 can really, really help with that. And on my screen at the moment, I have a PowerPoint presentation that I think we can flip to. You can see it there. And it's a PowerPoint presentation all about rocks, because my friend Victor is somewhere in the building, and he's a geography teacher. And we thought we could demonstrate with PowerPoint using the web apps how it's possible to work together to create a teaching resource, maybe a lesson starter. And if you look at my screen now, on the left-hand side, there's the little slide is highlighted, and there's an icon. Oh, the icon's moved down because Victor is now coming into work on this second slide, and it looks like he's correcting a spelling mistake. I think I spelled igneous wrong. Yeah, and I think Victor's going to come in, and you can see him working there to change things around. He's moving around, so I'll try and get the spelling right in this slide. Igneous rocks. Is that right? I don't know. Let's see what Victor does with that. But you can see that the two of us are working together in this PowerPoint presentation here. And you can see that because Victor's little icon's there.
Yes.
And you can see now he's working on this section of the slide here because his icon is coming up. And I think it looks like he's going to change something on there. Let's see. So I'm going to work in this part here while he's changing this top part. So and again, I'm not doing very well there because I've got my caps lock on. Hmm? See, he's changing my spelling mistakes as we speak there.
Yes.
See, so this just demonstrates the type of things that can happen. Teachers can get together and they don't have to be in the same building.
Same country even.
But they can work together to do presentations. So he's on there and you'll see him working away. Have your staff got to this stage yet? Are they starting to work remotely with each other to prepare lesson resources and other things?
I think we're more into sharing online and remotely rather than actually collaborating online and working together on the same resource. It's a journey, a long journey, and we've started, and a number of our teachers are far more adventurous in the things that they will try. So there are a few of them that have worked together with their friends on certain parts of their syllabus that they need to.
Okay. I mean it's a change that's going to happen gradually, isn't it? Victor's working away on this PowerPoint presentation. If we can bring this up onto the screen here, if you can put my screen on, you'll see that he is changing what I'm doing. He's changing the text. He's moving the slide around. So he's obviously not happy with what I'm doing, and he's asserting he's the geography teacher, so he's the leader, and I'm just the poor old biology teacher, so I don't know anything about rocks, I suppose.
And I don't know much about rocks either.
He's changing my work around on there, so thank you, Victor. I'm going to type a message on the screen. I shouldn't use this. Let me see. Go to my screen again. But you could do this. Look, I can type a message for him in here. It's using an unfamiliar machine. Where's the question mark? Okay. So I've left a message for him on there. I suppose we could use instant messaging or link, but we're working together remotely on a presentation here, and I've put a message for him in that slide, and I'm just wondering if he'll... Oh, he's working in the first slide there. Okay, so you can see he's putting in some really rocky kind of facts in there. I just think this is such a powerful thing.
The power, not only for the teachers, but for I know the girls in our class, the challenge of between hockey and extra lessons and music lessons to get the old-fashioned group work where everybody went together. This allows them to all work at home, maybe 7 o'clock at night after dinner, traditional homework time, but now they can all be in their own homes and they can still collaborate for one PowerPoint presentation that needs to be presented in class.
And it's great, I suppose, to be able to do that with people across the world, like you say. Here we go. Victor is now putting in images. He's really on a roll here with this slide. You can see he's putting in an image of somebody climbing some sort of a rock there. It looks like a rock to me.
Yes.
Am I right?
I mean, I think it is a rock.
But can we identify what type of rock it is? But you can see as he's actually doing the work, he's resizing the image and putting it in. He's putting a title. It's Igneous Rock. So we know.
Now we know what type of rock it is. We're learning. We're learning.
We're really rocking today, aren't we? That was a joke as well, people. We're really, really rocking today on this.
It's a hard audience today.
It's hard work, isn't it? It is to get the laughs, but I think it's because there are a few Americans here, so that's what it'll be.
There's not many questions out there, so I think we're doing a good job.
I think we are, and we're obviously we're answering all the questions that people don't need to answer much. You know, for me, I'm blown away by this ability to be able to create resources with other people. And I think certainly in parts of Africa where teachers are very often quite remote from any sort of support structure or collegiate environment, the ability to be able to get together with colleagues and do something, even if it's online, is probably quite powerful for them and good for their self-esteem and good for their... And good for their professionalism as well, isn't it?
But one of the best parts is simple.
Yeah.
It's simple to use. It's almost as simple as teaching SharePoint is in teaching them where to save the documents. There's no other learning management systems are very cumbersome. Upload here, create links there. The whole Office 365 package puts it all together in really simple, easy to use So you just need to learn how to save in the right place and do the things you usually did with your desktop package.
Sure. Victor is playing about here, look, changing the style of the slides and putting in new designs.
And we know he's doing all that through the web apps. So.
Yes, they're all the web apps. We're working completely on web apps here and not on the desktop versions. So again, that's important for teachers perhaps with who've got less technology in remote areas that are able to work on the same kind of applications as teachers perhaps in better resourced schools or with more resources behind them.
So somebody's asked a question here. How did you actually, was it quite complicated to get him online with you or
no.
What sort of steps did you take to share your PowerPoint with Victor?
Okay. Victor and I are working within a SharePoint group that I can pull up on the screen. Just getting it up on the screen here. We're part of the same organisation, so we're working in a SharePoint group that we set up, which is Tablet Academy Africa. There are some documents in that group that you can see on the screen. The one that's highlighted is a geography lesson presentation there. And because we are members of the same Office 365 platform and we're working together in a SharePoint group which we are both members of, we are both able to access documents.
And it's one copy of the PowerPoint presentation and it's really down to where you saved it.
It's just one copy, yeah, and it's down to where we save it. But the powerful thing here is you actually don't have to be members of the same SharePoint group or even of the same Office 365 platform because you can choose who you want to share your documents with. So if Victor had been in a different school in a different country and I still wanted to work with him on a PowerPoint presentation, all I would have needed to do would have been to share that presentation with him by clicking on the share button at the top of the screen there and putting his email address and sending him the link to it. So it's really as simple as that, sharing. And you choose, you keep the control, so the security and the safety of your school's Office 365 is still there, because all you're sharing is that one document, if that's what you're doing. So it kind of ticks boxes on lots of different ticky box sheets there, if it has to. Security, safety, ability to collaborate with anyone, anywhere, any device, through the cloud. Powerful creativity in
practice.
And
it doesn't require that much bandwidth because as far as I know, Victor's doing it off his 3G connection.
He is. He's on a 3G connection. Yeah.
It's not that he has an amazing bandwidth pipe in order to upload a picture and work on your PowerPoint.
It all comes back to that, you know, giving the right tools to teachers to enable them to unleash that creativity. for themselves and giving the right tools to our learners in order to unleash their creativity. We're coming to the end of this module now. It's been a fascinating discussion, hasn't it? I think we've probably got time for maybe one more question before we finish.
One of the questions here was, would Office 365 save time in administration, teacher administration tasks? I know from our school we were moving towards putting all our policy documents onto the SharePoint so that those people who have permissions can edit them. One copy makes life much easier. You never have to find the latest version of the policy.
Indeed.
I'm sure that happens in every school.
Oh, yes.
That was last year's copy and there's a new one for this. Yeah, and
you don't need to give the new file out to new staff every year. And the time involved in having an admin person in the office to photocopy and then distribute all the new policies and memos and letters. It's a big saving in time and resources.
And a good repository for keeping all the stuff that you want to use again next year.
Because it's so
the
you
year
don't
after.
You don't have to throw it away if you update it, do you? You just simply you go in, you edit, you save, and it's there for everybody to access. You don't have to scrap your old resources and come up
so
with a completely new set.
So gone are the old big teacher files that were on the shelves in our back rooms,
oh,
gathering dust.
The big files, yeah. We probably use them to prop up our multimedia projectors now, don't we? And edge our whiteboards a little bit out of the wall and rest our tablets on when we're on the desk, I suppose. So there's still a use for big folders in our classrooms, perhaps.
A technological
use. And again, that was my a feeble attempt at a joke there, I have to admit. And because there's no laughter in the room, you are probably all rolling around the carpet in your homes around Africa, laughing at the witty banter that's taking place here, and they just don't get it in this studio. It's a crying shame.
From America, though.
From America, indeed. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for coming in today, Lynette.
My pleasure. I know
you're going to stick around, aren't you,
and
come in on a few more places across the day. The next module we're going to look at is all about collaboration after the break.
My favourite word.
It is. Well, collaboration and creativity, they really go together, don't they? Like tea and milk and horse and carriage and martini and soda. So we're going to come back after a short break. Please stay with us. Come back for Victor, who will be back in the studio again with more good content, more collaboration, more great ideas, more witty banter. So have a good break and join us in 10-15 minutes time.